So I want to talk to you about Service Bus, Logic Apps, and messaging in general today for a little bit. If you make it to the end, I have a pretty cool demo which shows actually an end-to-end business flow where we use event apps, we use stream analytics, Service Bus, and Logic Apps, and more. And besides that, for the rest of the time, we'll talk a little bit through, okay, how can you use these tools, when to use which of these tools. We talk a little bit about the different messaging services in Azure, give a quick little overview about Service Bus. So let's jump right into it. So, well, this slide needs a title. Anyway, so these are the four messaging services we have in Azure. And I want to give like one, two sentences to how to use each. So my person, I'm Service Bus Program Manager. I'm working pretty much, I'm sitting next to the Event Grid Program Manager and to the Event Hubs Program Managers. We're all sitting in the same room and we're all working on the same product. And one of the most common questions we get is, hey, when should I use what, right? So, and the answer I typically give on that is, think of the intent. So what do you intend to do? Storage queues, they're, for example, made for a purpose, which we call like task queue, and that means like high volume processing. You have like 10,000 VMs, you want these 10,000 VMs to run all the same jobs. So you may want 10,000 queues, and you want to send a message in each of these queues, and you want to basically have these VMs pick from these queues and process these jobs. So they're typically like simple task queue scenarios. Then Service Bus is really like an enterprise message broker. It features certain things which you find nowhere else, which that is sessions, that is transactions. And we'll go through a few more features like deferral, ordering. So Service Bus is really whenever you move business data from left to right, we say physical goods or money. Or you have any other very business critical transaction. Typically in Service Bus, we would say like is geared more towards data transfer than simple eventing. Then event hubs, that is really big data streaming. So imagine you create a game, you call it Halo, and you have like 4 million gamers or 10 million gamers, and all of these gamers send you tons and tons of events. This is really when you want to sync event hubs. So lots of virtual machines, lots of web pages, maybe an online role-playing game or anything like that, sending you events. And then later on, you want to reason about these events. Event hubs has is really like a high-volume ingestion funnel in pipeline. That's really what it's made for. It's really not made for like business transactions or any of that, right? So, and then the new kid on the block, which is gaining momentum very quick, is Event Grid. And Event Grid is a little bit the opposite of Event Hubs. It's actually high volume fan out. So something happens on one of your services, and you want to tell the whole world about it. So you will say, I uploaded a new image to a storage account. Now I want to tell a Logic App to trigger cognitive services and analyze that image. I built that actually once. And it works pretty cool, like stuff like that. Or at the same time, though, I want to tell Stream Analytics that someone uploaded a new picture, and I put this event into an event hub. And at the same point in time, I want to trigger a function, which is doing something with the image, like copying it somewhere. So you see, like it's like a high-volume fan-out scenario. The key when you think about Event Grid is in this one sentence we have down there, cross-cloud reactive programming. So the goal of Event Grid is not to stay only Azure. It's really going cross-cloud. And we're making quite good progress. We're working with Amazon, with Oracle, with Google on making this actually a cross-cloud protocol. Service Bus and Logic Apps. Now, what's the difference there? So Logic Apps, if you use it, it has many, many, many connectors. And very often you might ask, why would I even use Service Bus here, right, in this constellation? So Logic App strengths is really transformation. So taking data in, modifying the data, and then passing the data along. Service Bus is genuinely not doing that. Actually, none of these services I've shown you here is doing that. They all just take the message and they transmit the message. That's all what they do. So when you think Service Bus and Logic Apps together, think about message transformation and message send receive. So, all right, some thoughts on serverless. Serverless is an awesome concept. And very often you say, well, in the serverless world, why would I still need messaging, right? Well, truth is, you need messaging in serverless because in reality, resources are finite. All resources are finite at all times, meaning, theoretically, Azure Functions scale infinite, Logic Apps scale infinite, but reality is you always want to transfer state, you always want to have reliable communication, and you want to decouple your services. And this is where always there will be messaging services. So that's where you think of it in the context of serverless. You always need a reliable broker somewhere in the middle if you have many, many services talking to each other. Let's talk a little bit about Service Bus. Service Bus has two entities. The market term is channel, which it uses to ingest data and then to basically transmit data. One is the queue. That's the very basic channel. In a queue, messages are ordered by arrival. They're time-stamped. And a queue attempts to do FIFO, but in reality, it does not because it's highly parallelized for performance under the hood. So, but you can basically set it up to do a first-in, first-out ordering. And many services actually need that. Like, for example, if you're an insurance company and you want to automatically create insurance claims, then you might need something like what we would call in messaging a convoy pattern, meaning you send a message in and you need like 5-6 messages. One is a picture of a car accident, one is form one filled out, one is the title of the car. So, and all of that needs to arrive in, this, in the right order, so your next process who is actually creating this claim is able to process it correctly, right? So this would be one sample where you would need FIFO. There's many more samples. You want to, for example, apply a job on multiple virtual machines and they need to apply an order. Again, you would need FIFO. So there's one concept Service Bus would support here. Then Service Bus has two basic delivery modes. These delivery modes are pull and then push via Event Grid. So pull is classic polling, meaning you have a loop, which the loop calls to the server multiple times and checks if there's new messages. Then we have a concept we call long polling, meaning you open a request to the server. The client automatically keeps the request open. And then after some, if any time during this, let's say 60 seconds, what your request time is, a message arrives, the broker will right away give you that message. So it's not a loop in this sense. It's just like a ping. You keep the connection open, and the broker will right away return you the message as soon as there's one. The other model is push. We right away right now support that only in Event Grid in our premiums queue. Sorry, and we move it to our standards queue too. And that's basically like you have a queue which has no permanent listener. And Event Grid basically, whenever there's a new message, will say, oh, hey, there's a new message, pick it up. And then call like a service and then say, hey, pick this message up. So that's coming for a standards queue in the next few months. Right now, it's only there for a premiums queue. The other entity or channel we have is the topic. Topic allows you a pub-sub setup where you can have, you typically have one publisher and then multiple subscribers. And interesting is that each subscription gets a full copy of the message. So, and another powerful feature when you use topics and subscriptions is we have quite complicated filter criteria you can use. So they support like a SQL-like syntax. And that's a little bit unique. So some of the other products, they maybe have pops up, but they don't support quite the complicated filtering we do with Service Bus. So You can do, for example, a scenario like you have 200-300 retail stores and you want to actually update the assortments in the retail stores. And now you only want to update the assortments for 50 retail stores, right? So you can build groupings of filters which will address the messages to the right retail stores. So that would be one of the features. And actually, one of the new quick starts on our documentation or tutorials, one of the tutorials shows you how to realize that. So it's like we build a little sample which does exactly that. Then what's interesting about the subscription and about the topic is they're fully compatible with the queue, so they allow you exactly the same features. Imagine the topic like your inbound queue, and then we have a process which is sending the messages to the subscriptions for you. You don't have to do anything for that. And then the subscriptions are really like individual queues. So let's go very quickly over some of the features we have in Service Bus. We talked about queues and topics. We have dead lettering, so whenever you receive a message, you try it for 10 times. It fails, it goes into the dead letter queue. You never lose a message. You can pick the message from the dead letter queue. Forwarding, so you can define forwarding between multiple queues. Deferral means you get a message, your client realizes the message is out of order, it puts it back. Sessions, that's mostly to guarantee FIFO or also to realize scenarios where you need many, many, many small sub-queues and sequences of messages. Batching or long polling, I explained the long polling a little bit. That was the 60-second call. Batching is you can send 100 messages in a go, 10 messages in a go. You can receive 10 messages in a go. That's what's behind that. We support transactions. So if you want like an all or nothing, sending to one or two queues or receiving from one or two queues, and you say, hey, this must happen, otherwise I want to roll back, we support that too. It's not officially announced, but the client is checked in. I actually wrote the documentation and everything. It's going through the check-in process right now and through the release process. It should be there next week. Standard to premium migration, that was a long-term topic. So we just created a new way of standard premium migration. It's now a two-click migration or two API call migration. So in the past, you had to copy your entities. It was quite clumsy. Now it's just two clicks, basically, or two API calls. Scheduled delivery is what it says it is. You basically send a message, and the message arrives. You can say, I want this message to be in the queue only at this time. Filtering and actions, we spoke about when we talk about topics. You can basically determine which subscription gets what message. Then you can delete subscriptions if they never get messages. That's the auto-delete. Duplicate detection is a filter on the message ID. And then some new features we have is RBAC and MSI support, and the geo metadata recovery. Then some of the integrations, we integrate tightly with Azure Event Grid, Logic Apps functions, and Dynamics 365 for sales. And we support multiple dev platforms, which is Java, JMS, Cupid, .NET, .NET Standard. So we have two SKUs. We have Service Bus Standard, and we have Service Bus Premium. So both of them are basically MQ1.0 supporting. They support MQP 1.0 and HTTP REST. Both of them do brokered messaging. That's a little different to the difference to the premium SKU. On premium, you have your own dedicated resources, meaning performance is always entirely predictable. On standard, you don't have that. You're on shared resources. We obviously need throttling to prevent noisy neighbor issues. Sometimes our throttling doesn't work very well. You still get noisy neighbor issues. So where I'm getting at with that is whenever you want predictable, repeatable performance, you probably want to choose premium. And most new features like geodata recovery, geometadata recovery, they are also on premium. So I made this slide to compare a little bit and talk a little bit about migration. So migration is a two-step process. If you would be on standard, you want to say, standard is not fast enough for me anymore, or I need metadata recovery or any other cool feature there. It's basically right now in PowerShell two API calls. One is called sync entities. What it does is it just started copying your queues and topics to a new namespace. And then migrate would be you call migrate, and then all it does is basically renaming the standard namespace and swapping the connection strings. So it's seamless. Your client would right away start sending to the premium namespace. How does this all matter in serverless? Quite a lot. Service bus is a generalist tool. The other tools I've shown you before, when you've seen these four messaging services, are very specialized. Service bus is really good for whenever you think decoupling, state transfer, or reliable data transfer. All right. How does service bus work with logic apps? Quite well. So we spent lots and lots of time to actually have service bus like work tightly with logic apps. So any concept in service bus, literally everything you have seen on this list, is pretty much supported by logic apps. So as logic apps connects to many, many, many applications, I would dare to say that the service bus integration is probably one of the best we have there. And that's mostly because we see these tools together. So if you would assume I want BizTalk in Azure, then assume service bus and logic apps. That's really how you should look at it. And now the little promised demo. So what we do here is we simulate some credit card transactions. And you know how fraud detection works. Basically, it just says any transaction which comes in, if I get a transaction roughly at the same time at a different place in the world, any of these modern systems say, oh, there might be a fraud. So I either inform the user and ask if that is valid, or I right away maybe block it. So that's basically what you would do. So we ingest this data into event hubs. Event hubs basically get stream analytics consumes that data and is basically processing it, notices, oh, there's a difference, and then sends it to service bus whenever there's a fraud detected. Service bus then gets that data into a logic app. The logic app processes and says, oh, inform the user or do something with it. Right? So that's the scenario. Let's go here. This is just my event producer, a little bit of code that's doing really nothing but sending messages to event hubs, and it's simulating frauds. Whenever you see a yellow line here, then one fraud was basically sent, like this. And then here's my stream analytics job, which is basically it has the inputs data. The inputs is nothing else but an event hub here. And then the output data is nothing else but a service bus. It only outputs whenever it detects something. And then here's my logic app, and this logic app is doing nothing but, hey, receive these messages. You can see the runs history here. Refresh that. And we should have a few more runs. So we see that's right now, 147. So yeah, you can see it goes through. In my case, I just insert into a SQL database because, well, normally you would maybe send an email, but I personally don't. Or you would send a text message or do something. I don't want to have 100 text messages on my phone or something like that. So I just throw it in the database, leave it there. One interesting thing here is ASA does something. We just had this question back at the booth. ASA is doing something interesting. It's adding two curly brackets additionally. So if you actually would want to build such a scenario, I give you a little head start. I show you what to do with it. But all I'm doing here is basically I get the message, I pass the JSON, and then I give it to my database. And let me show you this little trick, which you need to do if you would want to build something like that or consume anything from ASA service bus into logic apps. So first of all, service bus sends a byte array. So all you need to do is always like a base64 to string. And if it's like a service bus message from a regular client, you don't need to do anything else. If it's from ASA, you need to get rid of these curly brackets. It adds like two additional curly brackets. So there's a cool blog about that from Tom Kerkhoff and Coded, which does that, which explains you how to do it. So that's just a little tip if you ever want to build a scenario like that. Well, and that is pretty much, we're like at 149. Is any question we should quickly go through, or? Yes, no, maybe. I'll be hanging out here for a little bit. If you have any questions to Service Bus, let me know. We love feedback, so please complete some evaluation. Yeah, oh. Sorry. Yes. So let me repeat the question. So the question was Service Bus and Event Grid integration right now is premium only. Yes, right now it's only in premium. We move it to standard. It's going to come in the next 2 to 3 months, maybe 6 months. Depends on engineering resources and time and availability. So that was the end of the session. And if you have questions, I'll be here. Thanks.